All right. Last Wednesday, we talked about some things about locating ourselves. You know, and the first one was, how Christian are you? And we went through several things. And there's a couple things you need to consider about some words that get kind of confused. A lot of people are wondering how righteous they are. Always remember that the cross made all the difference. The minute you got born again, you got made the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. You are forever righteous. Now, this take the religion out of that word. That word tears a lot of people up. And it tore me up for a long time. And I'll tell you why. Is the first time I heard that word, I was sitting in a bar. I literally was sitting in a bar, first time I heard righteous. And it was some guy sitting there drinking whiskey saying, them self-righteous hypocrites that go to church every Sunday tell us not to do the things that they do. And I thought, oh man, I'm staying away from that word. When I got born again, I thought, I'm not even going near that word. But here's the thing. Why couldn't somebody have just translated that word into right standing? So I ran around thinking that righteousness had something to do with the way that you were dressed. I had no idea that it was you've been put into right standing with God because of what Jesus did. All through the Old Testament, people were in a struggle for righteousness. They were in a struggle. If they did the things they were supposed to do, they were in right standing with God. If they didn't do the things they were supposed to do, they weren't in right standing with God. God found a problem with that old way of doing things, so he sent Jesus here, and he took care of the deal. Now we believe on him, and it's accounted unto us for righteousness. The same way Abraham got his righteousness. He believed God, and God accounted it to him for righteousness. He's in right standing, we're in right standing, because of what somebody else did. You got to know we can never earn our own righteousness. The second word that gets mixed up is forgiveness. In 1 John 1:9, I was taught this for a long time. A lot of people get taught this. If you ask God to forgive you, he's just and he forgives you of all your sins, cleanses you of all unrighteousness. Huh? No, in 1 John 1:9 it says, if you ask God to forgive you, then he's righteous and just to forgive you of all your sins and cleanse you of all unrighteousness. But guess what? John was talking to Gnostics, people that weren't born again, when he said that verse. 1 John 1:7, he was telling them, if you walk in the light as we are in the light, the blood of Jesus continually cleanses you from all sin. Why is this so important? There's religious people that will fight you tooth and nail over this. But why is this so important? Because this is the defining factor on whether you walk around with a sin conscience or a righteousness conscience. I know there's some pastors that will really push this on people. And have them on their knees at the altar every Sunday, begging God to forgive them. He's already forgiven them. Now, he wants you to stand up in the righteousness that he made you and walk in it. The next little part of this deal that you need to ask yourself, are you saved or not? that's a big question for a lot of churchgoers. There's some that know that their salvation is written in stone. It is sure. It has been paid for and taken care of. But did you know there's a lot of people going to church every Sunday that are not sure? A friend of mine, she had been going to this denominational church for years and years and years and years. And somebody started talking to her, and she started kind of wondering about what she believed. So she went up to an Assembly of God church and started talking to this pastor friend of mine. And she wasn't real sure which way the pendulum swung. And she wasn't sure who to believe, this Assembly of God pastor or this other pastor. So my friend told her, said, you go down and ask your pastor if he knows for sure he's going to heaven or not. So she went down there and asked her pastor, said, do you know for sure if you're going to heaven or not? And he said, well, nobody knows that for sure. She went right back up to that Assembly of God church, got born again. See, if the gospel would be preached and not the traditions of men, people wouldn't be wandering around in a state of fear. You know, they wouldn't be wandering around, you know, like, I ask somebody sometimes, are you sure you're going to heaven? I say, well, I don't know. I say, what do you think you're going to do, flip a coin? The Bible tells us if you believe in your heart that God raised Jesus back to life and you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, you shall be saved. So in conclusion, the only thing we can say to what we've studied on how Christian we are is we are washed in the blood. We are righteous by faith. And we are justified by the blood of Jesus alone. Now the second big question that you need to ask yourself is how Christian is your God? That sounds like a crazy question now, doesn't it? But to listen to some people's interpretation of God, he doesn't sound very Christian. You know, they're convinced that any day he could just snuff them out. They're convinced that any day he might just take their job, or he might take their family to teach them a lesson. I actually had a guy tell me one time, said, God gave me a stroke so I'd become a preacher. And I thought, man, you're not hanging with the same God, loving Heavenly Father I am. But see how people can get twisted in their thinking without rightfully dividing the word of truth. Look at 2 Timothy chapter 2. Verse 15. It says, study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightfully dividing the word of truth. Now do you see why it's so important to get the word of God in there for yourself at least once so that you have that sifter, so that the Holy Spirit can bring things to remembrance to you, so that you can rightfully divide what you're hearing. Now go to James chapter 1, verse 6. James chapter 1, verse 6 says, but let him ask in faith, nothing wavering, for he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. And then we know in John chapter 5, verse 14, that we know that we have confidence in Him, that if we ask anything according to His Word, He hears us. And we know that if He hears us, the answers to our prayers are yes and amen. That's just a fact. We receive the petitions that we desired of Him. But we understand that His Word is His will. But we must discern the Word correctly in order to walk victoriously. That means we're going to have to know God. People that are walking around afraid of God, wondering, you know, maybe, you know, He might take something from me today and then tomorrow He might bless me and He might take this from me tomorrow. Those are people that know about God, but they don't know God. Look at Psalms chapter 47. Psalm chapter 47, verse 2 says, "For the Lord Most High is terrible. He is a great king over all the earth." Now, these guys were in the Old Testament. They were in the system where they had to perform, or God did take something from them. But being afraid, of God is not where we're supposed to be today. When you are afraid of God, you're on the wrong side of the cross. You're on the wrong side of believing. Now, we do have great reverence for Him. You know, they say that the fear of the Lord, they're talking about this great reverence. The highest, highest respect. But in the Old Testament, they had the right to be afraid of God. They knew that if they didn't do everything right, something bad could happen. But that's the law. The law takes. Now look over to 1 John chapter 1. We're going to get back over to our side of the cross, where we're supposed to be. Where we're supposed to stay. 1 John chapter 1, verse 3. "That which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that you also may have fellowship with us, and truly our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ." Now, does I got to ask you a question. I mean, sometimes you got to reason these things out. Do you sit in fellowship with somebody that you're afraid of? No. Well, there's a problem. Because there's a lot of people that really don't fellowship with God because they're afraid that they've done something maybe that was bad enough. Maybe He doesn't want to talk to them. Or maybe they're trying to get their act together good enough to go into His presence. Did you know you can't do that? No man can ever get his life together good enough to go before God. He has to go to God with his broken life and give it to Him so He can fix it. That's the only way it works. Job chapter 1, we're going to jump back over to the wrong side of the cross. Job, it's sad But it's kind of amusing in a way, and just, it's kind of even irritating sometimes. But the amount of church people, you know, that want to try to argue doctrine for whatever reason, I don't know if it's a hobby of theirs or what, but the amount of them that end up quoting Job, Job chapter 1, verse 21, said, "Naked came I out of my mother's womb, and naked shall I return thither. The Lord gave, and the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord." That just irritates me when I hear that. When I hear preachers say it in funerals, and it leaves people with this idea that God took their loved one away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Like that made them feel any better. All he did was just add confusion. And now people are walking around, they remember that verse. The devil will make sure they remember that verse. And they'll walk around in fear. They'll walk around without any confidence towards God. And they'll be always be wondering, who's next? So Jesus cleared this up. Go to John chapter 10, verse 10. See, God took the blame for a lot of stuff for a long time. And then Jesus came on the scene. And in John 10:10, he says, "The thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. I have come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly." If it's stealing, killing, and destroying, it's the thief. This would be good for a lot of people when they run into a problem, so they could identify whose team they're on. Are you going to blame God when you're in trouble? He's the only one that can save you. Why don't you go ahead and say the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy? But Jesus came that we could have life, that we could have it more abundantly. God's not the killer. He's not the destroyer. He's not here to take somebody's loved one away. He receives them, but he didn't take them out. Preachers need to knock that off. They need to just stop. It just adds more confusion to an already confusing situation. And that's how we end up with people walking around saying, "Well, God needed another baby in heaven. He didn't want this baby to go through all the trouble that he seen him coming down the road for." That's nonsense. And he certainly didn't need another angel in heaven. He's got countless angels. When you leave your earth suit, you don't get wings and go be an angel. That would be a demotion. Preachers, knock it off. But it would be a really, really good thing, since we're studying this practice of locating ourselves, making sure we're on the right team. When something bad happens, don't blame God. He's the only one that can fix it. You're already in right standing with Him. He didn't give you a sickness to teach you a lesson. He didn't wreck your car because you said something mean to the postmaster. No. He is not in the killing, destroying business. In fact, the Bible says, in Him there is no darkness. Sickness is darkness. If there's no sickness in God, where is He going to get this sickness to give to you? It's not going to happen. He's on our side. We're on the right side of the cross. Let's jump back over to the other side for a second. Look at Deuteronomy chapter 28. Verse 15. But it shall come to pass, if you will not hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe, to do all his commandments and his statutes, which I have commanded you this day, that all these curses shall come upon you and overtake you. That is the penalty for breaking the law. All of them sicknesses. And even it even goes on to say, even sicknesses that haven't even been named yet. So it doesn't matter how fast the devil keeps pumping out these new diseases. Have you noticed that he comes up with a new one every year? We hear about a new disease every year. When I was a kid, it was sleeping sickness. Everybody's afraid of sleeping sickness. And then, later on, is West Nile. That was a biggie. Remember the West Nile? And people believed it. They just said, oh my God, West Nile is here. Oh man, we live in a big mosquito area. We did live in a big mosquito area where I'm from. I mean, man, those things would fight over you. And they just, there was people getting sleeping sickness, animals getting sleeping sickness, like crazy. And then it kind of ran its course and they gave up on believing that. Thank God. Remember what a big thing HIV was? You don't hear too much about it anymore. I mean, it's still out there, but it's not as big as what they used to be. Then come up with COVID. And the television told people a vision to believe. And they just said, oh my God. And they wrapped up. I seen one little guy. He had his mask on. He had his goggles on. He even had his earmuffs on. Dude, you really, really need to get a grip. But they believed it. They bought into it. They believed everything the devil told them. Even church people. They believed the word of the devil over the word of God because that's what they were told to believe. Now, do you see why this is so important? Get this in you so you know what to believe and not what just some talking head on TV comes up with. A lawman told me, I said, what's this lockdown? They were talking about a lockdown. And he said, yeah, everybody needs to stay home. I said, what do you mean stay home? He said, yeah, don't go to work. Don't do nothing. Don't go to church. Don't do nothing. I said, well, I'm going to work. And he said, don't get caught. And I looked him right in the eye and I said, I don't care if I get caught or not. I'm going to work and I'm going to church. And he said, well, don't get caught. I said, deal's the same. I don't care. But that's the Old Testament. All those diseases come on you when you don't do right. Unfortunately, we have Christians that are living their days in fear because they're afraid that they might make a mistake or made a mistake. They're afraid something's going to happen. They're afraid they're not going to get answered to prayer. You need to look at Galatians chapter 3, verse 13. On the other side of the cross, where we belong. Galatians chapter 3, verse 13 says, Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law. What happens when you break the law? The curse comes upon you. Christ has redeemed you from the curse of the law. You're not under the law. I mean, you don't have to be afraid of the law's sicknesses and poverty and defeat. You're not there. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree, so that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Verse 29 says, if you be Christ, then are you Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. You fell heir to Abraham's blessing. Let me ask you this. Did Abraham ever do everything right? He didn't do everything right, but God said he was a righteous man, didn't he? So I wonder why Christians are running around thinking they have to do absolutely everything right or they're not going to get blessed. Now, I'm not saying go out there and be an idiot. That's not what the Bible says at all. But you got to take the pressure off of you and put it on Jesus where it belongs, because he's the only one that's man enough to carry that out. He was the only one that was man enough to fulfill the law. Nobody else could. You've been redeemed from the curse of the law. You've been put in this covenant of grace. Receive the abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness and rule and reign over your challenges. We're going to stop there because we're not going to get much farther on that. So thank you, Father, in the name of Jesus for your word. We praise you. We praise you for showing us where our weaknesses are, where our strengths are. We thank you for teaching us how to live on the right side of the cross, where we're under the blood, we're under grace, we are forever righteous. We are blessed. We thank you for these things. In Jesus' name, amen.